This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Time for the Easy Organic Gardener. Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry, mom, composter, biocontrol specialist, horticulturalist, gardener, insect and worm farmer, entrepreneur, and Dr. Bug Lady. And it's a pleasure to be with you again. Today I'm broadcasting remote from the University of Arizona, where I attended a reunion of 50 years of mariachi music. And for many of you who don't know, I love to sing and play the guitar and grew up singing many of the traditional songs that were performed. It was absolutely what I would call mariachi heaven. My guest this hour is the brilliant and busy entomologist, Dr. Matt Reshop. He can answer just about any question you might have about organic farming, pests of all types, and how to focus on growing more than one crop at a time. Before I ask Matt to join me, I want to make sure that you get a copy of our new Arbico Organics fall catalog. I just got mine, and it's beautiful, and it has what you need for all of your fall growing, and also for your horse and livestock and pet needs. So if you're already a customer, you're going to be receiving yours in the mail. And if you'd like to receive a copy of our Arbico Organics fall catalog, go online to www.arbico, A-R-B-I-C-O-Organics with an S to place your order. Or you can always give us a call at 1-800-SOS-BUGS, 1-800-SOS-BUGS, and one of our specialists will be glad to take your order. Be sure to take a look at the Arbico Organics Facebook page. We love it when you like us. And you can follow me at drbuglady on Twitter. And now I would like to tell you about my amazing guest. Dr. Matt Reshop is the Organic Pest Management Specialist at Michigan State University, MSU, where he conducts activities in research, extension, and teaching in a variety of Michigan and Great Lakes agricultural systems. The overall goal of this program is to provide economically viable pest management knowledge, training, and tactics for organic farming systems designed through a better understanding of agro-ecosystem dynamics, pest natural history, and behavior. And although he's directly affiliated with the Department of Entomology, he also conducts collaborative research and extension with labs in the MSU Departments of Plant Pathology, Horticulture, Crop and Soil Science, and Animal Science, as well as many units outside the MSU system. In his non-professional time, he enjoys the outdoors, working on old farm equipment, playing guitar, farming, and gardening. He and his wife run a small urban farm, Three Brothers Farm and Orchard in Lansing, Michigan, with two farming partners, and they farm vegetables, tree fruit, and poultry, and making the transition to a CSA-style marketing model. And now I would like to ask Matt to join me on the Easy Organic Gardener. Hi, Matt. How are you doing today?
Great, Sherry. Thanks for having me on the program today.
My goodness, you are one busy human being. All the things that you're doing, and I don't even know where to start asking questions because you have so many things going on. And I love what you're doing in your work, in particular because of this agro-ecosystem approach to the way that you're teaching farming and the way that you're working with growers. And at the same time, I'd love to spend a whole show just talking about your farm.
I am pretty busy, but I do have a lot of help. My wife, Amanda, has really taken a lot of leadership on the farm. And then, of course, our farming partners, Jerry Ginzel and Melissa Hill, have helped a lot. Melissa has really become our farm manager, and she's really kind of tells us what to do. So, in terms of vegetable production and whatnot, which is nice because it means that, you know, I can focus on the things that that I really enjoy, which are, I put in a high density, with a lot of help, I put in a high density row of tree fruit to get some modern tree fruit on our farm. And then I do a lot of fabrication of chicken tractors and stuff like that. So it's great. I mean, it takes, you know, a lot of labor and a lot of different talents, and we're really fortunate in that we've got, you know, some great partners in our farming endeavors. In terms of my research, you know, I get a lot of help because I do collaborate with a lot of people, and I have, you know, I have had and have currently some really excellent graduate students, postdocs, and you know, other folks that work with me. So, you know, I stay busy, but I have a lot of help.
Well, you really are busy, and in so many ways, you know, you're living the dream of farming. It's become so popular again, and it's great that you can take the, you know, you're the university person and people that create that bridge between the farmers and take the information from the university to the farmers, and then back and forth too, because both sides are always learning. And, you know, how did you get interested in insects and the work that you do today? Let's sort of get started with that first, a little bit about you.
So really, you know, I came to, you know, this is sort of classic definition of entomologist. You really have two sort of archetypal types. You've got the kids that are, you know, collecting insects from a very young age, and they're just fascinated with insects, and they have, you know, nice boxes of butterflies and everything else. And then you've got the squish 'em, kill 'em kind of entomologists that you know, are introduced to it more from the standpoint of, say, agriculture or, you know, I guess domestic, you know, pest issues. And I really came to entomology through agriculture, although I've always been very interested in insects and, you know, natural systems in general. So I'm probably more the squish 'em, kill 'em type. Although I have had some insect collections in the past, and we certainly keep a lot of insects in colony in the laboratory. You know, my sort of way into entomology was always really through agriculture and through, initially really pest management, but increasingly, you know, I think really focusing on, okay, what is it that we want in these agri ecosystems or these farming systems, rather than just focusing on, okay, what do we not want? Because in the end, and I think this is one reason why, I do try to maintain, you know, at least part of a foot in farming is, you know, to really farm, you have to really think about, okay, what do I want? And if you're going to farm it organically, you absolutely have to think about, what do I want? What, you know, what defines a healthy system? What are my goals? You know, what are the tools that I have to achieve those goals? And are these realistic goals? Whereas the conventional approach has always been, okay, let's expend an enormous amount of energy, both in the form of mechanical energy and then also, of course, in chemical energy, to homogenize the system, and then, yeah, we can grow, you know, heck, we'll grow blueberries on corn ground. Why not? You know, even though blueberries like a 4 to 5 pH and corn really likes a 7 pH, we'll just dump a lot of sulfur on. And, you know, that's one worldview, and that worldview, I think, really lends itself towards, okay, all the things I don't want, whereas the organic worldview, I think, when, and its purest is really, okay, how am I going to, what can I grow well here? And how am I going to do that? And what do I want at the end of the day? And yeah, there are some things you're going to have to work around, and there are always problems, but you're not focused on the problem so much as your goal. So that's really how I came into entomology and more so. It's, you know, it started out with pest management, and it's really evolved more into, all right, when we're faced with a farming system, and the way that insects and weeds and pathogens sort of interact, how do we choose the right sorts of crops? Are there components we can add so that the key crop that we want that maybe isn't doing so well can do better? Or, you know, sometimes you get faced with the fact that, all right, well, I have corn ground and really I shouldn't try to grow blueberries on it. You know, maybe if I want to grow small fruit, I'll grow raspberries, which do like a, you know, a soil pH closer to a neutral. I've used blueberries a lot because that's a major crop in Michigan, and I do work with a couple of organic growers here. I don't know if I answered your question really well,
yes,
Sarah,
you,
and I got a little far afield.
You absolutely did, and you're absolutely correct that, you know, we developed these systems over time that allowed us to grow things where they never would have grown without huge inputs, and as you say, enormous amount of energy, water, you know, fertilizers, and then, of course, all the synthetics. And so this is exactly what people that listen to this show want to know about. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about how do we know how to plant the right crop and talk a little bit about going organic. So those of you who are listening, don't go away. We're coming right back with Dr. Matt Streetcroft.
need help with pest control, don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbaco Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbaco-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbaco Organics Specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbaco Organics catalog.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest is the brilliant Dr. Matt Grishop. He is the organic pest management specialist at Michigan State University, where he conducts activities in research extension and teaching in a variety of Michigan and Great Lakes agricultural systems. Welcome back, Matt. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And you have so much to talk about. I mean, just a lot of information here. We were talking about your transition and how you've come to where you're working with agriculture and in particular organics. And you're talking about how we now have other choices, particularly in the organic industry, where we're not just growing something where the pH of the soil isn't appropriate, and with huge inputs. And so there's more of a, what I call more of an ecosystem, approach to growing. So let's have you talk a little bit about organic growing and why it is so important and how you see that as part of feeding so many people in the future.
Well, you know, I think our food system is incredibly complex. And, from the standpoint of organics, you know, I really look towards some of the early, at least in the Western world, early pioneers like Sir Howard and Lady Eve Balfour, who were both,
yes.
I'm sure some of your audience is familiar with them. If not, I'd really encourage them to get online. Sir Albert Howard, actually, one of his books, I think it's A Testament of Agriculture, is available. It's commonly available. You don't have to buy it. You can actually download it from a variety of sources online. The copyright's expired, but it's an amazing text. And he's really, you know, he was really one of the first people to sort of question, at least in the Western world, what's this trajectory we're setting ourselves with mechanization and the use of synthetic fertilizers and not so much pesticides, because they, you know, the synthetics didn't quite exist when he was really talking. He died in the early 40s. And then Lady Balfour, of course, is one of the founders of, oh goodness, I'm so terrible with acronyms. Movement of organic. Over in Europe, the soil society, which was really the first organic certification company or organization in Britain, and then the why am I forgetting this? I'll be teaching this next week. too many things going on.
At any rate,
important person. talked a lot about life in the soil. So really, for me, the first and foremost, it comes back to the soil, and that's really where the organic movement started, is saying, okay, let's pay attention to our soil, because that's really the foundation of all terrestrial life on the planet. The first thing that we need to do if we're going to do organic farming or gardening is really, take a good measurements of our soil. Maybe that's just starting by, digging it up and looking at it. Does it smell like healthy soil? Is it mostly sand? Is it mostly clay? Obviously, you can't do much to control the mineral content of your soil, but you can certainly do things to alter the soil biology of your system simply by adding more carbon and, stabilized nitrogen and compost. But that's really where it needs to start. And so again, then you need to start thinking about, what's going to grow well here? And, Mother Nature can provide us some good guides towards that. If things like rhododendrons, for instance, are growing well, they like a low pH. So maybe something like a blueberry or a cranberry or another ericaceous crop that really is more of like a swampy, high organic soil, low pH plant would be appropriate. If things like lamb's quarters are growing, well, that's a pretty good indication that you've got a fairly neutral pH and a nice, fertile agricultural soil. If things like mullein or nettles are growing, it may mean that there's some nutrient imbalance. And so then you need to start thinking about, okay, what's in my soil? Where am I? Do I have enough nitrogen availability? What's my organic matter? Is there enough carbon in the soil to hold on to water and nutrition for the plants and to support the microbial activity that's needed to provide a nice stable mineral availability for the plants. And so that's really the baseline. And then from there, you have to think about, well, where am I? Am I in California? Am I in Southern California? Am I in Northern California? Am I in Michigan? And, obviously you're not going to plant avocados in Michigan. As much as I'd love to plant avocados and pomegranates in my backyard, that's not going to happen because, we have winter. And did we ever have a winter this last year?
Did.
So you really have to pay attention to, what are my climatological limitations? Am I in a climate where, I'm going to get enough growing degree days to produce a crop? This year, we're having an unprecedented cool summer. We're all sort of crossing our fingers, hoping we get some heat in these last few weeks of summer so we can get some ripe tomatoes. I mean, we've had some fantastic fried green tomatoes, but you know, we'd really like to have some ripe ones. On the other hand, our broccoli and our cold crops are doing amazing. I mean, we've got some of the best broccoli I've ever eaten out of our garden this year, and some great kale and cabbage and things like that that like a nice, cool, sort of a moderate climate. So you have to think about climate. And then from there, I think you can start really choosing what you're going to plant. And then, of course, on the pest management side, you know, the first and foremost, in a lot of my thinking, because I do work with a lot of perennial farmers, are disease complexes. So there it really becomes, all right, if you're going to plant apple in Michigan and you want to do it organically, you really need to, at the very least, choose an apple variety that's at least apple scab and fire blight tolerant, if not resistant on the scab side. And you need to do this because, you know, if you grow a susceptible plant, we live in a climate that's very favorable for that disease. And by putting in a bunch of apple trees, you're essentially providing habitat for that disease. So, you know, if you can certainly fight scab and you can fight fire blight with copper and sulfur, and there's some biologicals and things, but it's a lot nicer if you don't have to fight it. So then, you know, if you've got the right soil, if you've got the right climate, and you start choosing varieties that are appropriate to your climate and growing degree days, then I think you're building from a strong foundation. And, you know, especially in perennial crops where you've got a lot of specialized pests. So it's, you know, things like, and I'll lean on apples heavily because I really love apples and work in them a lot. You have things like the codling moth or oriental fruit moth, which have, you know, millions of years of evolutionary context with this crop. You're very unlikely to be able to promote a plant that is going to be completely resistant to that pest. Or, you know, fire blight is, of course, the worst disease we get in apples. And again, you can, you know, if you manage your plant well and make sure that it has enough nitrogen to have, you know, proper growth and development, but not so much that it's a nitrogen-rich tissue that's going to be very attractive to the bacterium that causes fire blight, you can certainly minimize the incidence of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, these things have millions of years of they've had a relationship, shall we say, for millions of years. So these pests are probably going to be part of your system. And so then you need to think about managing them.
There you go. And that's what we're going to come back and talk about is pest management. How do we manage those pests? We're going to take another quick break. We are coming right back with Dr. Matt Stretchup, so don't go away.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. Genstone.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest
test banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again. And they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNLive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNLive.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sherry Herrera de Frye, and you are listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, environmentally and sustainably yours. And with me is Dr. Matt Grishoff from Michigan State University, and he is one heck of a blood man and a whole lot of other things, too. So come on back here, Matt, with me. I just want to sum up what we were talking about in the last before the last break. What you basically were saying is soil is the foundation of everything. We've got to stop treating our soil like dirt and really get to know it, and I think that is so important. We emphasize this quite a bit on the show. And the other thing you said that I think is really important for our listeners is that, pick the right thing to grow for your particular soil and your region. Obviously, as you said, we're not going to be able to grow avocados in Michigan, although I guess you could in a greenhouse. People are extending their seasons, and that's very exciting. But for most people, though, but you might as well get out the gate giving yourself the most success as possible. And then, of course, you talked about if you're going to grow something, get something that's disease-free because it makes all the sense in the world. You want to have success again, and you don't want to be battling diseases. And then last of all, you talked about minimizing pests. And so let's talk a little bit about that and also how that all works with organic growing.
Okay, yeah, that's a great topic. And again, I think if it's okay, I'll use apples as kind of my test case because it's an area that I'm very familiar with and have a lot of passion for. So in the case of apples in the Midwest, in the upper Midwest, we've got, there's more than 20 insects that will readily feed on apples, but we've got a variety of diseases, fire blight and apple scab being our primary. So there's already a lot of things that like to eat apples, and there's a lot of things that like to, have a relationship with that tree. So, yeah, first and foremost, we choose a resistant variety. We're very careful about how we put our planting in. Then it becomes an issue of, okay, how do I create a habitat that's very good for apples, but not so good for, you know, diseases and for insects? So, from the pest management side, so now, I really feel that it's important to think about what is it that I want first and foremost, and then start thinking about the problems that are in the way of that. But always keep your eyes on, okay, I want a good yield of nutritious, nutritionally dense, flavorful apple, some tonnage. But you do have to think about apple scab. You do have to think about codling moth. You do have to think about Fung Curculio in our region. So, The next step is really thinking about, okay, what's the life cycle of this organism that has this relationship with this tree? So in the case of apple scab, which is really our number one pest management concern in Midwestern apple production, it's a disease that has a two-stage life cycle. It has a sexual stage, which happens in the spring, and we call that primary scab season, and then an asexual or conidial life stage. So this is where you've got little fungal bodies that are flying around that, you don't need two gametes to meet, or, a male and a female element to meet. You've got it, basically a fungal conidial mass that can form mycelium and cause your scabby fruit. And that happens in the summer. So traditionally, our focus has been on managing primary scab. Well, the third part of the story is that, in Michigan, we have long winters. The scab has to go somewhere in the winter. And where most of our scab goes in the winter is it goes to the ground on leaves that were carrying scab lesion previous year. So a really great way to manage your scab, or at least give yourself a better, create a better environment for your trees and a worse environment for scab, is to make sure that you are disposing of those leaves in the fall or in the early spring before the spores that are on the leaves form little tiny mushrooms and shoot sexual spores up that give you the primary scab in the spring. So, for instance, some of the research that my lab is looking at for organic producers is using modified haying equipment, small-scale hay equipment, to gather leaves from underneath our trees, put them in the middle of our dry row, and then we can run those leaves over with a flail mower. And a flail mower is a regular lawnmower would work as well. What you do is you chop the leaves up into little pieces, you mix it with some nice, high nitrogen green grass in the middle there, and essentially you strip compost the leaves. And what we found is if you can get leaves and mix them up with a little bit of cut grass, by the next year, my grad student and I spent hours crawling around with tweezers picking up little tiny pieces of leaf, but you've essentially eliminated all those leaves. Well, that's not going to eliminate every last bit of scab inoculum for that first part of infection, but what it's going to do is take it so that, instead of fighting or trying to manage a million spores, you're only trying to manage 10,000 spores. And so it's pretty simple math. You're much more likely to be successful, and you're going to be able to have a lighter touch when you're managing a few spores than when you're managing, untold millions of spores. Now, in the conventional world, they've been doing this for a while with applications of urea, so synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. And it's the same concept, only they spray it on underneath the trees or even up into the foliage if the trees haven't trapped all their leaves. And the idea is the same. I mean, you're just feeding composting. You're adding nitrogen to a high carbon, so a lot of green to a brown in the parlance of, composting language. And you're getting those leaves to break down. So that, I think, is a way to sort of set yourself up so that you have an easier time. And then if you do need to use copper, if you do need to use sulfur, if you do need to use, a product like Serenade or maybe a potassium bicarbonate, you're going to have much more success than if you don't, manage that, understand the organism, the relationship it has with the tree, and essentially try to set up a system that is not friendly. For insects, what we found in a really popular project that we ran in my lab for a number of years was using rotational grazing of small hogs in orchards to eat dropped fruit both within the growing season and then after the growing season's over. And what we found with that is that we could manage the hogs preferentially root and feed underneath the trees rather than in a dry grow. And so you get some weed management. So you can keep, the weed cover down so the plants aren't competing with your tree quite so much. They also consume pretty much anything that's on the ground. Now, the key aspect here is you want to use small pigs. You really want to use pigs that are sort of certainly no more than 80 pounds. 50 pounds is probably more, is better. Our experience was about 12 per acre was pretty good. You need to have, you know, some way to contain them. So electric fencing, portable electric fencing works pretty well. Poultry are another possibility. The problem that we've run into with that is really more of a legal one. With all the food safety stuff leading up to the Food Modernization Act, and what we found is that you know, animals and manures are being regulated out of agriculture, which is another problem all, you know, of itself. But I think, you know, figuring out ways to incorporate livestock into smaller scale fruit production is a really promising avenue for essentially creating an environment that is, you know, poorly suited to that insect that's, you know, making its living on that piece of fruit that's sitting on the ground, or the disease organism that's making its living on that leaf that's on the ground. Obviously, if if a hog comes along and eats all the apples that have the plum curculio or have a fair number of the codling moth in them, the next year you're going to have less plum curculio or codling moth. So in my mind, I mean, that's really that makes the most sense for approaching organic agriculture.
Sure does. And, you know, when you think about the fact that, you know, you have these, you've got the hogs there who are, you know, they're feeding on all these other things that generally are kind of a pain. They're kind of in the way. And what a great form of biological control. There you have, you know, normally you'd have an apple falls on the ground, the codling moth larvae bores out of it, goes into the ground, yep. And the next thing you know, you've got a whole other generation going. So, you know, and at the end of the day, you've got the two crops. You've got the hogs and you have the apples, and exactly. What a wonderful way to go. We're going to take another quick break, doggone it. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about your passion for insects and farming. And so those of you listening, we're coming right back, so please don't go away.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics Specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry, and with me is Dr. Matt Grishoff. He is the Organic Pest Management Specialist at Michigan State University, where he conducts activities in research, extension, and teaching in a variety of Michigan and Great Lakes agricultural systems. And boy, do you do a whole lot more than that, Matt. I'm telling you, you're a superstar when it comes to what you're doing. It's a delight to meet you because, you know, when I got started in this business, you couldn't even use the word organic. It was blasphemous. You could say regenerative or transitional or sustainable agriculture. And, you know, people were laughing. Are you kidding? We're going to use an insect to get rid of an insect? Oh, no, that's not going to work. And what do you mean talk about the soil? That's just something to put a root into. And, you know, who cares about water conservation and synthetics, you know, that are poisoning? I mean, it's so different today than it was 20 years ago and 30 years ago. So, my hat's off to you. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing and continue to do, because it's such important work putting this whole thing together. And I know, insects are, among all the other specialties, that is one of your specialties. Let's talk a little bit about that. And also, want to be sure that you get a chance to talk about why we need organic certification and the differences between the different types of certification, too.
Okay. So in terms of insects, the aspects, the more pure entomological side of things that I'm really interested in are, so you've got a pestilent insect. What if we learn more about its basic biology and its behavior and its physiology? You know, can we identify aspects of that insect that we can use to manage it? So one area that I've had a fair amount of research in and continue to is looking at mating disruption technologies, and we're actually starting to look at an attract and kill technology, but it's at the conceptual stage, and right now we're not using our killing agent is not a NOP compliant, just because from the researcher standpoint, it's sort of like a proof of concept, and eventually I'm sure we'll get there, but right now it's more, okay, I want to see about the biology of this insect, if we can bring it in and get it to touch a surface, Can we bring it in and get it to touch a surface, and then can we have an impact on the population by doing that? So for instance, for a lot of the Lepidopterists or moth pests that we have, they have an amazing sense of smell, if you will, and they have a very complex way of communicating with smells, or olfactory communication. So for instance, and again, I'll just go to apples because it's easy for me. The causing moth is, worldwide pest of apples. It grew up in Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, where apples came from originally. And the apple environment is a really complex one. You've got, giant trees and all this space, and you have these little tiny moths. They need to find each other to mate. So the female produces a pheromone, which you can think of as just like a perfume, a very species-specific perfume that's released at a particular time of night. And the males use that scent to find her. So they can at least get within a few feet of the female and see her, and then they, have a romantic time, and then, a couple days later, the female lays eggs. So, something that began in the 1970s and has really become a mainstay for management of causing moth, not only in organic production, but also in conventional production, is the use of mating disruption, where essentially, some better chemists than myself isolated that pheromone, and they figured out how to mass produce it. And then what you do is you put it throughout the orchard. So now what you've done is you've taken something that really works by being a very rare signal. So it's just like a bloodhound tracking something tracking, say, a particular person through the woods. If you had a lot of scent for that one person, the bloodhound's really not useful anymore because it's just going to go down false trails all the time. Same thing. We put out lots of pheromone, and then the males essentially just get really sexually frustrated, if you will, and they fly around. They don't find any females. Well, if they don't find the females, there are no eggs. If there's no eggs, then your apples are safe. So that's a really good example of a way that, understanding the basic way in which these insects function biologically can be used to get a very specific form of pest management that essentially has no impact on the rest of the system. So you're not putting out even a biologically based toxin, which might be more selective. If you're not a causing moth, you're really not affected by this because it's affecting your behavior, not your nervous system or your digestive system or anything like that. So that's something that's very interesting to me, and I've been involved in sort of working on. We've noted mating disruption works for 20 years. It's really only in the last 10 years, I feel like we've really been figuring out the sort of mathematics behind the behavior and how it functions. And I've been working with people like Larry Gute and Jim Miller, who are fellow faculty members at Michigan State, on those questions. I'm also very interested in, we did a lot of videography looking at different moth species and their response to pheromones in the field. And we found that some moths, like the oriental fruit moth, they spend a lot of time around these false pheromone sources, and they land on things. So we got to thinking, this might be a situation kind of like mosquito control in the tropics, where they use mosquito netting that's treated with an insecticide. The mosquitoes touch the netting, and this is very important when you're in a place with malaria or yellow fever. And the mosquitoes essentially, they touch you're the attractant. They're trying to find you based on the CO2 and heat you're putting off. They land on the netting, and then they, jump off the mortal coil, so to speak. So we're very interested in, proof of concept wise, can we improve mating disruption by not only distracting males, but bringing them in and essentially, killing them so that they don't move on to mate. So that's, again, something that we're very interested in. Right now, we're doing this conceptually. We're also looking at this for Japanese beetle, and we've had some very good early success for Japanese beetle, but it's not ready for the organic marketplace yet. We essentially need a botanical or a biologically based insecticide that we can work with rather than the synthetics that we're using for proof of concept. So that's just sort of, more on the entomology side where I come at it is, where are the weak points in this insect's life history and its behavior that we can take advantage of to modify our environment so that it's less favorable for them and thereby more favorable for the crop we're trying to produce? That was your first question, and I've already lost your second one.
Well, let's just sum it up, though. What you're saying is that, first line of defense in many cases for pest control is simply trapping, and you can trap for monitoring of the pest, just to see what the heck you have, how many numbers
right.
you have. And then, of course, you can actually trap as a part of controlling the pest, particularly in their adult stages. So
Yeah, and mass trapping actually, I mean, we've known that that can work, say, for codling moths. The problem we typically run into is the cost associated with maintaining enough traps and so first off, purchasing them and then having someone maintain them. So I think at the homeowner scale, if you put up, say you had a fifth of an acre of apples, if you put up, 20 or 30 codling moth monitoring traps in there, or not even that many, probably about 20, you could probably have a pretty huge impact on that codling moth population simply by removing males from the mating population so that they're not, they're not finding females anymore. But to do that on, say, even in a 5-acre orchard, is probably not going to be feasible from a human labor and a, material standpoint because it's just too expensive. And that's a whole other issue is sort of the scale of agriculture and, the way in our country, the way we choose to pay for our food, which is really, for instance, the dead zone, off the Gulf of Mexico, which is really the direct result of Midwestern agriculture around the Mississippi, river basin and the fact that we have, tons of nitrogen and phosphorus, moving down there into the water and disrupting that aquatic system.
Right.
Well,
causing a desert.
As a society, it costs us. I mean, that we're paying for our behavior agriculturally in the form of that dead zone. Now, the consumer might not see that as, I can buy cheap corn chips, but you're getting cheap corn chips, but someone else is, a huge ecosystem is being, essentially sterilized by that.
Right.
And the fisheries
right.
and everything else are being reduced. So someone's paying for it.
Someone's paying for it. And unfortunately,
exactly.
we're at the end of our hour. And I'm going to ask you to come back and join us because you have so much to talk about. We could just talk about the dead zone. Thank you so much, Matt. I'm so appreciative. And thank you for doing the great work that you're doing. And for those of you who are listening, thank you for joining us. We'll have another wonderful guest next week. Be sure you make it a great, easy organic gardening week. This is Sherry Guerrero Day for us.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Matt.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Free Strike Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Free Strike Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you'd like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.